The story of John the Baptist and Jesus is in Luke. The whole story that begins at Luke 3, at the beginning of chapter 3, and includes then the baptism of Jesus. This story has been absolutely fragmented in the lectionary into three little pieces, and this is the last of those pieces. This is the lectionary at its worst. This is a radical deconstruction of Luke's story so that it can be theologically interpreted. And it literally destroys the story that Luke created. So I would suggest strongly that you tell the whole of the story, at the very least from verse 7, after the introduction to John from Isaiah the prophet. But I would recommend that you tell the whole story. It's not that long, and it's a very interesting and compelling story. So for each of these weeks of the lectionary, when the story of John the Baptist is identified as the story of the week in the lectionary, I'd suggest you tell the whole thing. The logic of the story is that John the Baptist is the one who establishes the foundation for Jesus' ministry. And he proclaims the coming of the kingdom of God. He proclaims it both in word and in his characteristic sacrament of baptism. So the tradition of Jesus has adopted John's sacrament of baptism as a central sacrament for the religion. And so what John the Baptist established has been continued throughout the last 2,000 years in the sacrament of baptism. John's preaching is, in this story, followed by his arrest by Herod. Luke does not tell the story of John's execution. That's only in Mark and Matthew. So this is, on the one hand, Luke's acknowledgement of John's death, although it is not described, but simply that he was arrested and thrown into prison by Herod. But it is also a telling of the whole story of John the Baptist. That is, his preaching, his baptizing, and then his arrest after his condemnation of Herod Antipas for his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife. Jesus then comes after John, and the story of Jesus' baptism, chronologically, apparently comes before John's arrest, but here it is told as something that happened after John's arrest, in the sense that it's described and told, you know, after the story of story of the arrest. Jesus' baptism is then part of John's baptism. So the implication is that Jesus was baptized by John along with all the people. Now, the character of John's preaching is specifically apocalyptic. That is, it looks forward to the establishment of the kingdom of God. And his baptism is then a preparation for that apocalyptic event. The way in which this is normally told is as judgment. That is, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will separate his wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is often heard as a sermon, a motif of preaching that is meant to scare people. So the question that is implicit in this story is, how is this good news? Well, the assumption in this story is that the people who are listening are the wheat, that is, those who will be gathered in by the Messiah and by the representatives of God, and the chaff is the Gentiles. So the reason why his preaching was seen as good news is that this was the hope of the people of Israel, that they would be vindicated, they would be entering into this new government, into this new nation of that would be established by God. And the Gentiles would be wiped out so that finally Israel would receive its consolation and the Gentiles would be defeated. What becomes clear is that Jesus reinterprets this understanding of the coming of the kingdom of God. The first sign of that is Jesus' baptism. The climax of the baptism story is God speaking to Jesus as his son. The way in which this is usually told is in a kind of booming, authoritative voice. You are my beloved son, and in whom I am well pleased. This voice from heaven. It is far more likely that the way in which it was told was the voice of a loving, proud father who is delighted with his son. So it has the same spirit as the story of Matthew, where Joseph names him, you know, takes him in his arms, and he calls his name Jesus. Well, that's the spirit of this here. It's the spirit of a father looking at his son and telling him, I love you, and I'm really proud of you. And of this voice, then, from God, this voice from heaven, is a loving voice. It is an intimate voice. And that is the foundation of this new government, of this new kingdom. It is based on the intimacy of relationship between the Father and the Son. It's on the intimacy of relationship and love that is established between the Son and his subjects, the citizens of this new kingdom. And that is what needs to be conveyed in the telling of this story. It is then a story of the coming of the government of God into the world. And it is established by repentance, that is, by putting on a new brain, turning your mind around. And in this instance, it is turning your mind around in relation to how it is that God will establish this kingdom. And he will establish it by baptism, by the entry of people into a new way of life, a new pattern for the government of the world. It is his son who will establish that government.